Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
Art is a very human way to explore and reflect the world we experience. It often asks questions of us who view or hear it, and it can be calming or unsettling. The art itself can be kinetic or static. It can be aural or visual or both. But what it usually isn't is living.
The practice of what's called bioart uses materials like tissue cultures and bacteria, things that are created every day in scientific laboratories all over the world, to create what are essentially living works of art. The philosophical and ethical questions the practice raises are thorny and profound.
Jennifer Jo Hung is on the faculty of the Art History Department at UW-Milwaukee, and she's on the forefront of scholarly study of bioart. She joins us in the studio now. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You have a most interesting specialty as an art history professor. You focus on something called bioart. So we probably should start there with a definition of what that is.
Exactly. And actually, it's taken me quite a while to come to a definition that I can actually even just tell my students, just because it's such a wide range of practices that's quite recent in contemporary art history. So I just like to say simply that bioart is a contemporary art practice that uses living matter as its medium. So things like animal, plant, human cells and tissues, organisms, bacteria, stuff like that.
And I have to say, I never had any idea that using those things in art was even a practice.
You know, and I didn't either, actually. This is something that came out of my teaching. I do a lecture course that's art since 1970, and the first time I ever did it, the class was a spring semester, was ending the summer, and I thought, I need to give my students something really provoking to send them off into summer, you know, end the class with a bang. And I came across bioart, and I thought, this is perfect. The last lecture is going to be on this really strange, interesting, compelling art practice that not a lot of people know about. So that's how I came to it. And when I was writing the lecture, I realized, you know, there's a lot going on here. It's incredibly provoking, and not a lot of people are writing about it unless they're the artists. So that's what led me down this path.
How many artists do you think are practicing with this kind of media? This is just so interesting. And then how did they get a hold of the stuff?
Sure. You know, a lot of artists, more and more as I get more into researching the subject, just because the area is so broad. So what I've been focusing on more particularly within a wider range of bioart practices are artists who use living materials and manipulate them, creating new life forms, for example. There have been a large range of artists who use biological living matter to, say, create bacterial paintings or something more depictive or representational. And I've been interested in more strange objects, objects that don't qualify as quite living, but they are living, things made out of tissues, things that are manipulated using stem cell technologies. And what I've realized as I've embarked upon this path is that there are quite a number of artists who have become interested, more and more so as the years go by, because I think there are now laboratories around the world that allow artists to come in and start to play around with this stuff. And that's been the most interesting. You know, people who don't have backgrounds at all in any scientific practice get to go in and play around and learn how to extract their DNA or, you know, learn how to seed cells on a scaffold and stuff that just doesn't come, obviously, out of a conventional art degree.
I was going to say, normally you're not doing that in your painting studio.
No.
Yeah.
No. And part of the reason is because you need a specially outfitted laboratory. You know, I just finished this book and I start the book by saying, you know, the last time I stepped into a lab was in high school biology. I mean, if you take the path of arts, humanities, you're usually not going to be going into these spaces and getting your hands on this material. So that's part of the, I think, some of the roadblocks that have been there for artists who might want to experiment with this material. But again, around the world, I mean, I've been in Western Australia. There's an amazing, probably the most amazing art science research lab there that pairs artists, resident artists, with scientists. So you can come in with an interest in this subject matter and you might not know exactly what you're doing, but then you get a scientist who's going to sit down and talk to you and teach you some things and you get your hands wet. And then I think what happens, what I've noticed is that what happens is that artists are just starting to go, oh, my God, this is just the beginning. Think of what I can do with these living materials and think how provoking that could be. But again, you always have to think about, you know, you need the laboratory to be able to get this work done. And in terms of exhibition, something I've also been interested in, you have to have galleries that are willing to host basically a lab situation, because you have these living materials, these living artworks, living sculptures, bits of strange biological matter that it needs to be fed. These things need to be taken care of, and you can't just, you know, put it on a pedestal.
Hang it on the wall.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about the ethical considerations? I mean, we're talking about creating life forms. They may not be sentient life forms, but we're talking about manipulating biological matter into something else, which usually is the province of dystopian science fiction.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing where all the hair stand up on the back of your neck and you think, oh, my goodness, this is really squishy.
I know. Exactly. And squishy. It is. I think that's part of the reason why this kind of art practice is so intriguing, and not just for the artists who are using these materials, but also for viewers, people who might wander into a gallery and not expect to see something that is qualified as living but doesn't appear as something that they would see in their normal life. So I think rather than coming down on either end or professing any kind of ethical conclusion, I think that a lot of what these artists are trying to do is exactly to say, look, this is the kind of stuff that happens on a daily basis in laboratories across the world. We have these technologies to mold life, to modify living beings, to regenerate and renew living forms. But on a daily basis, you or I are not going to be thinking about that. We're not going to be seeing it. We're not going to be questioning whether or not the outcomes from this kind of research are going to give us living forms that we might want, or are going to produce modified living matter that's going to enter into the broader world. And that's just because scientists have a very specific way that they want to think about their research. You know, they have specific end goals. And I think what artists bring to the table is a wider, messier, squishier context. They're saying, okay, well, what if we make this strange bacteria that glows and can, you know, detect the toxic levels of chemicals in your body or something like that? What's that going to look like when we take it out of the lab? What's it going to look like in our world? And I think that the work provokes conversations that are ethical, more so than coming to particular conclusions.
Do you find in your research that artists and scientists are talking together more about this because of this kind of work?
Definitely. I think that what we're starting to realize, and it may just be because this is now suddenly what I've been obsessed with, and so I'm now starting to track it, but I think that once you start getting artists to sit down at the table and talk to scientists, or even just figure out what they're up to, you know, think about what tissue engineering really is, or what are the new developments in stem cell research, you realize that there are actually commonalities in the ways that artists and scientists go about doing things. Their questions and their end results might be different, but the ways in which these two parties may play with material, may experiment with forms, may come to different ways of manipulating this matter, actually, those processes I found really surprisingly to cohere in really interesting ways. And so you realize, you know, there's not this huge divide. I don't think there should be. But there just isn't a huge divide between artists and scientists when you're thinking about things like, you know, what's our new definition of life, or how are we expanding what we qualify as living? What do we want our life to look like? Human, animal, plant life. You know, how long do we want all of these things to live? Those are questions that everybody's thinking about. We're just using different tools. So that's been really interesting to discover.
The idea of, you know, taking down an exhibition takes a very different tone when you're talking about taking down something that's living and potentially killing it.
Sure. And that has been a a big debate. And that's actually brought up a lot of the ethical issues that you were talking about earlier, because you realize, you know, you've installed these tissue engineered forms into a gallery space. You've basically, you know, installed bioreactor. You've let people feed it nutrients over the course of how long the exhibition is going. And then suddenly the exhibition ends and you're not just taking a painting off the wall. You're having to dispose of this living material. And that has proved to be a very interesting experience, not just for the artists and the gallery people and the curators, but also for the viewers and the participants. So an artist group that I've written about, I'm very interested in, the Tissue Culture and Art Project, they've instituted what they call a killing ritual. So at the end of an exhibition, they mark this moment when these tissue forms have to be disposed of, and they have almost a funeral ritual. So people come in and they talk about it. The bioreactor is open. Sometimes people are allowed to touch these tissue forms, which contaminates them, and then they end up dying anyway. So there's a lot of various emotional reactions to suddenly seeing things in front of you. Again, squishy, strange, small little forms that you wouldn't usually think of, you know, as living, and you wouldn't think that you would care so much. And suddenly you have people crying. You have people really having a really deeply personal relationship to the disposal of these items. And for me, witnessing that ending of the exhibition, the ending of the lives of these objects, is something that you don't see often.
Yeah. And again, you know, I keep thinking we're in some sort of science fiction novel, some sort of realm where we're playing God in a way, you know,
right,
as either lab workers or as artists. You know, if you've got something that's you've created and that is living in some form, some definition of that, to then destroy it, it's such a very interesting place to be.
Exactly. And I think what artists are doing, they're taking that moment that occurs all the time, again, in these laboratories. It's not really thought of in such a, say, emotional or even maybe ethical way. Cells get killed all the time. Tissues get disposed of all the time. These living forms that are just starting to develop and grow get trashed. But what does it mean to take that moment and really think about it, to prolong it, to mark it, to let a wider audience be involved, people who aren't going to put the lab coats on and be certified to be able to see these things in the lab? And I think by doing that, by allowing a wider public to be involved or engaged in that moment where a questionable life questionably ends, you start to instigate these more ethical questions. And then you have a wider public who's able to say, okay, well, these are things that are occurring all the time. We're creating, as you were saying, almost in a very godlike way, these living or semi-living or hybrid forms. And what do we think about it? You know, how are we qualifying that life? Do we want to be doing this? Should we be doing it? So again, I think it's more about provoking those kinds of questions that get more people talking.
And art does that. I mean, art seems to be a way of talking about those questions in a way that no other discipline really does.
Exactly. I mean, art is the forum for bringing up really challenging topics and questions without needing a particular answer. You know, what differentiates what an artist using tissue engineering technology from a tissue engineer is that there is no functional end goal. There's nothing they're trying to solve or cure or heal. It's just about the process of experimentation. And for me, I'm always really interested, and I think a lot of artists are too, in things that go wrong. So failures and accidents and mistakes and these moments when you have things that go not on plan. And it's oftentimes in those moments when you realize, oh man, that thing is actually alive. You know, something went wrong. It grew really differently, or it got a disease or what have you. So yes, art is definitely a place where these sorts of strange circumstances are allowed, and then it allows for a broad set of experiences that are really challenging and that just get people talking. I've been saying that a lot, but I really feel like once artists are taking on these practices that might not seem artistic, we just start to talk about it. We're talking about it today, you know? So that's the start, I think.
Jennifer Johung, it has been such a pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Johung is an associate professor of contemporary art and architecture at UW-Milwaukee. She co-curated an exhibition of bioart in Australia that opened earlier this month. There's more information about her and about the practice of bioart at wuwm.com.